Hello, I'm Mark Youngerblood from Pilch Connect, an independent not-for-profit specialist legal service for community organisations. We're discussing the changes and clarifications introduced by the new Associations Incorporation Reform Act 2012. We'll be calling it the new Act throughout this Pilchcast. It is expected that the new Act will commence operation by 1 December 2012, but it could be brought into force earlier. This Pilchcast is intended as an introduction to the new Act for legal practitioners and advisors to community associations. If you are a member of an association or a volunteer and simply have an interest in the changes, then you may also find the discussion valuable. But please be aware that we have produced this recording primarily for lawyers. We plan to take you through not every part, but the most important parts of the new Act and discuss the impact they will have on Victorian associations. In April 2012, the Victorian Parliament passed the Associations Incorporation Reform Act 2012. The new Act incorporates 2009 and 2010 amendments that never actually commenced in a rewrite of the current Act. New model rules for incorporated associations are in the process of being drafted and will reflect the changes introduced by the new Act. It is expected that the new Act will commence operation by 1 December 2012, but it could be brought into force earlier. In this part of the discussion, we answer some interesting questions about two important aspects of the transition to the new Act. First, how the new Act, when it starts, treats the rules of an association. And second, we'll talk about how the new Act replaces the term public officer with secretary, and how this may affect the role of the secretary under the current Act. Joining me to discuss these important issues is Juanita Pope, who's the director of Pilch Connect. Hi, Juanita.
Hi, Mark.
Juanita, I thought the best way to look at some of these issues was to discuss them in the context of associations and perhaps look at some queries and examples that associations have in relation to the transition to the new Act. I have here an email from Jenny, who has emailed us from Giving to Live Incorporated, and they are a small regional association that facilitates people donating clothes and household items for disadvantaged single mothers. This association has the model rules, and Jenny asks, will they need to formally adopt the new rules or will they apply automatically?
Well, thanks, Mark. There's no requirement to proactively adopt the new model rules once the new Act commences. What the new Act does is has a 12-month transitional period for organisations that are currently on the model rules, and they can continue to operate on those rules for a 12-month period after the new Act starts. What this means, though, is that anything missing from the current model rules that is a requirement in the new Act will be automatically read into the association's rules. In other words, if the new Act says an organisation's rules have to cover, you know, X, Y and Z, and the existing model rules don't cover those matters, then the new model rules provisions will automatically apply to that organisation as well. There are basically three options in order to address the complexities that are raised by the transition to the new Act. An association on the model rules can decide to adopt the new model rules when the new Act commences, and they would do that by special resolution and then notify the registrar of CAV, and it's at that point that those new model rules would become effective for that group. The second thing an association might like to do is to make and adopt its own rules. So it might have found that perhaps the model rules have become redundant for them, or there are certain provisions that are not working for them, and this is a really great opportunity for associations to reconsider their rules. So they might want to change their rules. If they do that, they need to make sure that they include all of the new schedule matters that are provided in the new Act that must be dealt with by each association's rules. They go through the process, of course, of presenting those changes to a general meeting, passing a special resolution, and then submitting those changes to the registrar of CAV for approval. And once CAV have approved those changes, then that organisation has its own rules. It no longer will have the model rules. The third thing that an association can do is do nothing. And that means that after 12 months of the new Act commencing, if nothing is done, the association will be taken to have adopted the new model rules.
Okay. Just still thinking about the new model rules, I understand that they will be coming into force at the same time that the new Act commences. What is the process that the Victorian Government goes through to introduce those new model rules?
The process is that the government will need to release a regulatory impact statement which explains the impact of the proposed regulations. That regulatory impact statement, or a RIS, will also provide draft regulations. And as lawyers will know, the model rules are a schedule to the regulations under the existing Act, and indeed under the new Act. So, in essence, then, there will be an opportunity for the public to comment on a draft of the new model rules in advance of the new Act commencing. After that public consultation process is finished, the government will consider the responses that have been received and essentially write a report and make any changes to the regulations that it sees fit. And then at that point, the regulations will be in their finalised form and will be commenced at the same time as the new Act.
Okay. Well, we've considered in some detail the model rules. Let's assume for a moment that Jenny's association, Giving to Live Incorporated, is operating under its own rules. You mentioned earlier on that if an association has the model rules, they will have a 12-month grace period, effectively. Does that 12-month period apply for associations that have their own rules?
No, it doesn't. The new Act says that organisations that have their own rules can continue to have those rules for an indefinite period. So that 12-month transitional arrangement for organisations with the model rules does not apply. What this means, though, is that there's a couple of kind of complicating points. As I've mentioned earlier, the new Act introduces a number of new matters which must be included in the association's rules. So if the organisation's existing rules don't cover those matters, then the relevant model rule will be automatically included. So in effect, what this means is that an organisation might have its own rules plus some imported rules from the new model rules, which could cause confusion. The second point to note is that if an organisation's rules are inconsistent with new requirements under the new Act, then to the extent of that inconsistency, the rules will be invalid. So again, this might create complications for organisations which have wording which differs slightly from some of the new provisions in the new Act. For example, there's a new provision in the new Act relating to indemnification of office holders, and it's quite possible that an organisation has its own existing rules which frame the indemnity in a slightly different way to the way that the new Act does, and then you've got an inconsistency there, so that might cause confusion as well. So for lawyers that are advising not-for-profits, it's probably a good idea to consider suggesting to your clients that they review and update their rules, either just before the new Act commences or on commencement, to make sure that those inconsistencies and gaps in the rules are ironed out.
We have received another email inquiry. This one's from Jim. Now, Jim is the public officer and the secretary of a not-for-profit association that seeks to protect turtles. It's called Turtle Power Incorporated. Now, his life is pretty busy already, and he's worried about taking on more responsibility in the association. He asks, with the replacement of the term public officer with secretary in the new Act, will my role substantially change?
Well, thanks, Mark, and thanks, Jim, for your inquiry. Really, in terms of the tasks that the public officer currently is charged with, not really. It's mainly a terminology change. Basically, what the new Act does is replace all references to the public officer with the word secretary. So it doesn't really materially change the responsibilities of the public officer. It just means that that person is called the secretary. There's one exception to this, I think, and it's in section 59 of the new Act. And what that section entails is a new regime for receiving requests from members for restrictions on personal information held on the register of members. And under that section, the Secretary has particular obligations with regard to receiving those requests and assessing and deciding on whether the relevant personal information should be restricted. So Jim's tasks aren't going to change very much, with the exception that if a member requests a restriction to personal access, to access on their personal information, then he will need to deal with that. One other thing I'd say to Jim is that the duties that he is under will change. Under the new Act, the Secretary is included in the definition of an office holder, and the new Act clarifies and codifies the fiduciary duties of office holders. So regardless of whether a secretary slash public officer is actually the secretary on the committee of management of the association, they will be included within those office holder duties provisions.
Well, that seems pretty straightforward if an association has a public officer that is the secretary. What about circumstances where an association has a separate public officer from a secretary? My instinct is that this could cause some confusion for some associations.
Yeah, Mark, I think you're right there. The public officer will be called the secretary for the purposes of the new Act once the new Act starts. So what that means is that the secretary for the purposes of the Act will be doing things that the public officer had previously done, and as we know, that's things like lodging the annual statement with Consumer Affairs Victoria, making sure official details are up to date with the regulator and things of that nature. An association might have a current secretary under the rules that will continue to be its secretary under the rules, and they will have responsibilities, for example, like dealing with the documentation in relation to meetings, maintaining the register of members, those sorts of things. So, yeah, what this essentially means is that it could lead to a confusing situation where an association has sort of two secretaries for a period of time. One secretary for the purposes of the new Act and one secretary under the rules. So if you're an advisor, it's probably a good idea to suggest to associations that they might want to change their rules to deal with that complexity. One way of doing that is to appoint the same person to the roles of both public officer and secretary. I think that's probably the simplest way to deal with it. Another way to deal with it might be to appoint an assistant secretary to do those traditional secretarial tasks under the rules, and then have your secretary proper being the person with the public officer duties under the Act.
Well, we're just about out of time, Juanita. Is there anything else very quickly that's worth mentioning in relation to the secretary under the new Act?
Just one thing, Mark, that I thought it was worth pointing out. Under the new Act, the secretary can reside anywhere in Australia. Currently, the public officer has to be a resident in Victoria, but that's been broadened out in the new Act. So the secretary, yeah, can be a resident of Western Australia or anywhere else in Australia.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like associations have got a lot to consider just in the transitional provisions with this new Act coming in, both from how it impacts on their rules and also how they're going to deal with situations where the secretary might be separate from their public officer. Juanita, thank you very much for your contribution and your insights. We hope that this discussion has given you an insight into some of the key changes and clarifications being brought in by the new Act. Now, it's time for a disclaimer. It's important to mention that the information we've discussed is not intended to be legal advice, and if you have any specific legal concerns or queries about the new Act, then you should talk to a lawyer before you make a decision about what to do. That is, of course, if you're not a lawyer already. This material has been presented for advisors and organisations affected by the laws in Victoria only, and if you need more information, visit Pilch Connect website at www.pilch.org.au. Thank you very much for listening.